Welcome to today's podcast from Heritage of Faith Gold Coast. For more information about us, visit heritageoffaith.com.au. We hope you'll be blessed by today's message.
How many know we've got to be led by what the Holy Spirit wants? Yes. Amen. And even when it doesn't make sense in the head, you just got to flow like a bow. And you'll hit something, right? Father, I come before you right now. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in this church this morning and this people. Lord, I just thank you for the word, the worship, for everything, Lord. But right now, I pray that hearts are open to receive, Father. Lord, an incorruptible seed that will produce after its kind, Lord. So I thank you as hearts are open, Lord, as this word goes forth. Lord, it will go forth in love, but authority and power in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. How many of you at the conference? Quite a few of you. How many were blessed?
Yes.
How many were challenged?
Yes.
Good. Then you're paying attention. You don't go to a conference without coming out challenged in some area, right? Or God's saying you've got to go to a new level. We've been, let me just say, your pastors have been challenged immensely over the last little while to go further and deeper. God would send people across from the other side of the world to get in our faces and cheer us on, but challenge us with a reverential fear and responsibility of what God has actually put in our hands. When you have a man of God at that level that prophesies, and then you're sitting at dinner and he's in your face with a finger speaking the word, but speaking with authority and power, but love, and saying, do you actually understand what God wants to do? And if you don't take it serious, do you know what you're going to miss out on? That puts some kind of weight on you. Okay? But guess what? If I transfer the weight onto you, it's not so heavy anymore. You thought it was about me, eh? You all walked into that one, hook, line, and sinker. Anyway, thank you, Jesus. You know, in May 2018, the Lord gave me a word, and when Brother Jerry was out here, I was sitting thinking about a few things, and about how I came to the faith, and how I believed, and the things that God really rooted me. He took me from, anybody been broken before? I'm talking like in every area, finance, heart, mind, every area, like you're just a mess. You're like smashed. You're looking to go to some kind of shop for a makeover. You're looking to go get renovated, right? Inside and out. I was a renovator. I wasn't off the plan. I was a renovator. But the Lord said, man, I can see potential. I can do stuff with you. Same as he sees for every single person, yeah. But the key was this, that the word of God, this is what changes you. Like we can worship and we get into his presence, but unless this thing gets inside of you, you don't change. You can see people sit in church for 20, 30 years, still looking to a pastor for answers. Now don't get me wrong, the fivefold is yeah. But looking to a man or God for answers or for prayer, but when if you get this in your heart, something comes alive inside. There comes something rises up and bubbles up and says, I have the answer for everything I need. I have authority and dominion. I just need to walk in it. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And God has been challenging me about our nation, because there's a lot of good happening out there. But listen, there's a lot of revelation missing about the power of the living God and his word. Yes. Amen? Yeah. And the Lord gave me a word. I'll read it with you. I don't think I've shared this with anyone. Maybe I can't remember. But in 2018, in May, he said this, the vision for Australasia and the islands. A little while back, I felt I had a prophetic sensing that God wanted to reignite a faith within his people. And you go, yeah, but aren't we called to faith? Yeah, but not everybody who lives and walks and moves and breathes by faith. God's saying, I want to reignite faith within my people. In Australasia, outpouring of the Spirit, which it will accompany by signs and wonders. It will take great faith, obedience, and willingness to yield to God to see this outpouring. Australia needs an impartation of this kind of faith to awakening, to see an end-time revival of signs, wonders, and miracles. And you know, revival starts within. Yes. People are looking for a revival to start out there, but it starts in yourself. Yeah. That's where true revival starts. Because it's when one person comes on fire inside and gets a revelation, gets hungry for God, and starts to get another person on fire and have a revelation for God, next minute you'll have three of them, four of them, five of them, seven of them, 14 of them, 1,000 of them, and you transform a city. That's how it comes. But he says signs and wonders are not for believers, it's for the unbelievers to show his power. Why? Souls, 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 souls. That is what our Father is interested in these times. So you go, so why do we need faith? Because it's going to take faith to step out. It takes faith to step out in boldness, to proclaim the word. When you see somebody that needs healing, it takes faith and a conviction of the word in you to step out and lay hands and say, God can heal you and touch you.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, yeah.
You can't do it without faith.
No.
If you do it without faith, it's dead. Because you know why? You release it. And you go, well, God's sovereign. I think, you know, I mean, he wants a better life for you. But, you know, let's just, whatever happens, happens. Let's just get into agreement. What are you agreeing with? He's sovereign in the whole plan. But he's given us a form of sovereignty in the micro plan.
Right.
And he said, you have dominion. You have authority. You walk in it.
Yeah.
You execute my word. You execute my heartbeat. You execute what I'm saying from heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Saying you say it. So I want to share some stuff this morning that I believe Satan has tried to rob at the body of Christ. Amen. The title of my message, if you want a title, is called The Word We Proclaim.
Yes.
The Word We Proclaim.
Amen.
And I feel Satan has tried to rob this very foundation out of the body of Christ. Not just here, but around the world. So we see the apostle speaking in Romans 10. He says this, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. The word is near you in your heart and in your mouth. This is the word of faith we preach. The Bible says, there is a thing called the word of faith. It's not a movement. It's not a denomination. It's a lifestyle that we're called to move and operate in. There's a lot of people that have an issue with it because they don't understand a lot of stuff about what it means. And I'm going to share and unpack some stuff with you. And I'm passionate about this because I've seen so many people not walking in victory, but they're stuck with this mindset or this limitation about this very area that God says I've called you to flow in and function in. But look here. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes, and with the mouth confession is made. Let me just say this. This has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with anything. It's not a denomination issue. This is a Christian lifestyle issue. It's a foundation that was put there, and he put that concept there and say, this is how we function. That when the word is near you and in your heart and in your mouth, you confess. Now, let me say this. Okay, so if Jesus did everything he was going to do on the cross, right? Yes? Why do we need to believe it and confess it if he's already done it? Because he wants faith and he wants declaration. If you don't catch this, you're never going to walk in the fullness of the authority God has called you to walk in. This is not about stroking a genie in a lamp and getting what you want. This is about taking the promises of God, putting it in your heart, and commissioning it with authority.
Yeah,
it's an authority issue,
yeah.
Not a confession issue. Look here. It says here, somewhere, the word of faith we preach. That word preach is about an announcer, someone that publishes a divine truth, a preacher, or to proclaim. So when I'm standing proclaiming what the word says about my situation, when I'm proclaiming about what Jesus can do, I'm proclaiming a divine truth into a situation. Am I right? That's the whole foundation of the gospel. That's the whole foundation of how we execute judgment and bring through what he wants to do on earth. Without the belief and the confession, it doesn't happen. It doesn't move. Amen. If you study the life of Jesus, you're going to identify a few things. Jesus operated in this very area, which means he must have been a word of faith preacher. I'm just saying. There's several facts that helped him overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus always prayed the answer, not the problem. There's too many times we're speaking about the problem. I mean, I love visiting Mark the other day in hospital, brother. You know, God's hand was on you, my friend. The devil tried to take you, but let me tell you, what's of God, no one can touch. No devil or demon. And you had a family standing behind you, brother. But you know, the first thing he said he heard when he had an issue, I don't even give it glory, but he had an issue. He heard Louise praying, right? Am I right? Yeah. And the first thing he heard Jesus say, it is done. And he took a hold of that and started in his spirit saying, it is done, it is done, it is done. What did he do? He took the promise. And he put voice to it. Amen? And that's why he's standing here. I believe if he didn't step in that revelation, brother, you might have graduated before us. But God has a plan for you. Amen? Amen? So the first thing Jesus does is he always prayed the answer, not the problem. I feel sick. I got a migraine. And that's fine to a degree, but if you keep on getting in agreement with that, you're going to keep on having it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Jesus never prayed the problem. Yeah. Hey, Paul, John, there's like 2,000 demons here. Like, what are we going to do about this? I know, we fast. We fast and pray. That's what we're going to do. We're going to fast and pray about it. No, he was already in prayer. He was already walking in authority. He just said, let it be, and it was. Yeah. They left. He moved in authority. He spoke the problem, the solution. The other thing is, Jesus always spoke what God's word said, never man's opinion, and never his own opinion. I don't do unless I see the Father do, and I don't say unless I hear the Father say. So when we're speaking into situations, if we don't speak the word into the situation, it doesn't shift. Because the word is alive and powerful. And every situation, every name, every circumstance must move. Yes. Yeah. You know, there would be a lot more joy in the body of Christ if we had that revelation. Yeah. I'm speaking about myself as well. Don't think that we don't have challenges. But when you take the word, you stand and you get it in you and you start speaking and say, I don't accept this situation. And you take this thing and you start giving it back. Yeah. It has to obey. Yes. Right? He always spoke the end result and he always used the written word. Look at Luke 3-13. This is Jesus. Remember when he was taken into the wilderness? Remember where he was tempted? Right? The Holy Spirit led him there? Watch what happens. We all know the story, but I'm going to read it again, because faith comes by hearing and hearing. Amen? So look at this. I love what Pastor Joshua said. He said, never take something precious and let it become common. That hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, we can take each other as precious and then become common because we see each other every week. You can come here and go, oh, it's Pastor Sean again. It's fine. He's just going to preach a good old message again. We go home inspired. Woo! It becomes common. And eventually it will not work for you. It happens in your marriages. You go home. Oh, it's just my husband or my wife. She becomes common. Or he becomes common. And what happens? Satan finds a foothold. And before long, that's not there anymore. We see it all the time. But look what he says. And the devil said to him, how many of you know the devil has a voice? Yeah. If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. Now, you've got to understand something, and I'm not going to spend time on this. But that you know, did you know that Jesus was tempted with everything that Adam was tempted with? Yeah. Adam was tempted with the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Jesus got tempted with the very same three things, but yet he overcame. You with me? But look what he does here. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. That's the lust of the flesh, by the way. But Jesus answered and said, it is written. What does he respond with? The word that is near me, in my heart, and on my mouth. He's a word of faith preacher, I'm convinced. But he said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Every word that comes from God, there's an answer to every situation you're facing in this word. And you need to find it, You need to get it in your heart and you need to get it on your lips and start speaking it out. Not the problem. If you need counsel about the problem, that's different. Do you hear that? Counsel about a situation is different to murmuring and getting into agreement about a situation. There's a difference. So look here. Then the devil, taking him up on high on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I love this stupidity. All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. I read that the other day and I laughed. You are trying to negotiate with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the principality, the head of all principalities and powers. You're trying to negotiate with him. Are you stupid? So what are the two things he does here? If you are the Son of God, that sounds familiar sometimes, even in the body of Christ. Who do you think you are to name it and claim it? Who do you think you are to stand on God's promises for your life? God is sovereign. Let me just say this. How can you negotiate with God, or with the devil, on stuff that's already yours? Yes, that was a good place for an amen right there. The Lord was showing me this so strongly the other day. I was like, babe, did you see this? Did you see what it says here? He got questioned about, who do you think you are? What authority do you think you can walk in to function in this level? That's religious spirit. It's life from the pits of hell. But the other thing was, Satan was trying to give Jesus something which he had already had an authority over, right? He had an authority over. He gave man authority in the beginning. Man just had to exercise it. But he already had authority. He can walk in that authority. If he wanted to, he could have called angels, right? So technically, he already had the authority. You and I already have the authority. We already have the promises of God. And we spend more time negotiating with the devil than just saying it is written. You've got to catch this. I'm going slow here. Because this is important. The whole thing about confessing the word is not about stroking a genie in a lamp. It's about standing on what is already yours and making a stake in the ground and saying, it's mine. Leave it. It's my family. Leave them. It's my church. Leave it. My finances. Leave it. My health. Leave it. You're already healed, Mr. King. Not asking for it, you're already healed. Right now. And Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a high pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. You see how he keeps on making him question, who do you think you are? If you are. So if you're a believer, why are you facing these situations? If you're a believer, why is there lack? If you're a believer, why is there sickness in your body? It doesn't belong there, but you need to remind him it doesn't belong there. Yes. He's trying to get you to doubt whose you are and who you are. Amen? Yes. But now watch Satan. Now this is the thing I want you to catch. The devil himself will use the scriptures to confuse you. Watch this. This is Satan speaking. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you and keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Is that true or correct? Is that correct? Yes. Is that the word? Yes. So Satan's trying to cause confusion and manipulate a situation when it wasn't about that, it was about something higher. He was trying to get him to heal to. Right? So many people in the body of Christ can do that. Prosperity is not of today. It's then. There's an issue with this. Healing is not for, you know, it's God's sovereign. He'll heal who he wants. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That sounds like the very demon that tried to take our Lord and Savior out, but he couldn't. Right? He couldn't. And Jesus answered again and said, it has been said. I just want to let you know, it's been said. Shut up. I would have said that. I wouldn't have wasted the rest of the time there, you know, and wasted ink and print and all that. It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, when the devil ended every temptation, he departed for him. Look at this, for an opportune time. Don't think that just because he leaves you once that he's not going to try down the road and find a way that it can derail you. Because while you're on this earth, you're a threat to him. And you need to shut him up. The only way you shut him up is with the Word of God. So when he comes up again, you go, oh, we're going to have this conversation again. But each time you stand, you build your faith, you exercise your faith gets bigger. It's like going to the gym. You know, faith is only used when you've got to use it. Faith only grows when you've got to use it. Right? So guess what happened? Growth only comes is when you use faith. Faith is required when you need God to show up in situations. The just shall live by faith. Right? The only thing that pleases God is faith. So when we build our faith up and we take the Word and we get the Word in our hearts and in our mouth, we start declaring it is written for every situation and circumstance. And then he flees. He leaves you. Situations turn. They start moving in alignment with the way it was designed before the foundations of the earth. Amen? You're getting something out of this. This is so important. This is so important. Now, I want to show you something before we keep on. And I'm probably going to spend time here this week and next week. But I want to show you something before we move on about the words we speak and about the Word itself and how it's powerful. It's a sword. It's a weapon. It's a will and testament. It's a promise. It's a book full of covenants. And I want to show you something here quickly. You know, the Bible has got two sections, we all know, right? Old Testament, New Testament. You all agree? Yes. Only problem with that is the original word for testament is actually covenant. It's not a testament. Now, I need you to understand something. My whole message, you've got to understand, is about kingdom level thinking. Not about, oh me, oh my, I come to church, I know of God, I know Jesus, I'm going to get through, I'm going to fall over, and I'm going to go be with him in glory. That's great. But how many of you know it's far deeper than that? While we're on this earth, we have authority and dominion in every area. There are principalities, powers, and rulers. If we don't flow and function in that realm, we can't defeat them in that realm. Okay? So you cannot defeat devils with mental ascent on earthly realm. We have to come up a level, right? So everything is about kingdom. Now, the thing is this. If you don't understand that the Bible is made up of covenants, right? You won't understand your right. Because you know what happens? We go through the old into the new and we forget everything that's been established. And we go, that's all old. Well, then why don't they just publish New Testaments? Irene said it so beautifully that, you know, it's like if you want to get to know the Gold Coast, you need to look macroscopically, come up at a high level, go to the top of the Q1, have a good look at the whole landscape, and then get a GPS and travel through the streets and you get a good feel of what the Gold Coast is about. If you don't understand the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, YouTube will deceive you. You know, Pastor Tracy said this to me, and we were talking about topics, and I won't mention the topics, but he made this statement, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, you know that people take a truth. Well, that's a good one. I'll stand on that one. They take a truth. They make it the truth. And it becomes untruth. Take a truth, make it the truth, becomes untruth. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. We had some deep conversations. But you know, the thing is, if I know from Genesis to Revelation, I can have a view from the front walking through, and I can go to the end and look back and tie it all together and get a good overall, I'm never going to be deceived or confused. And I'll know my rights. Especially covenant rights. Yes. So when the Word of God is in my heart, on my lips, and I confess, what am I confessing? I'm covenant truth in every area. Amen? There were multiple covenants. The Edenic, the Noahic, the Abrahamic, the Mosaic, the Priestly, the Davidic, and the New Covenant. And then there's Salt Covenants and all these other covenants. And I'm not going to spend time on that, but what I want to say is this. That every single covenant had a benefit. Included in some of that was actually material things like land. Amen. And seed. And blessing. Now, let me say this. If I don't know that, what's going to happen? I'm stuck in this place suffering for Jesus until he comes back. How many want to suffer for Jesus until he comes back? He said, take up his cross and do it every day. That means crucify yourself every day, right, and follow him. Which means in everything, in the center of every covenant is Jesus Christ. But with it comes benefits. There comes promises that he'll look after you, that he'll be a provider for you, that he'll bless you and increase you. He'll look after you. If you call to business, he'll increase your businesses. Why? Because the gift of giving. If you have a gift of healing, he will work it with you and increase it. Because we're in the new covenant. So you need to understand that there are covenants. And if we don't understand the covenants, we are not going to know that we can stand assuredly when we stand with the word. And the enemy is in our face. You don't release faith and authority. Because you don't actually know, is it God's word or is it not? He knows what is God's word. He will manipulate it. He'll get in your face about it. And he'll make you question it. Come on. You with me? You're very quiet. You know, it's kind of like this. Let me ask you this. If you got a phone call and somebody said, I have a will and testament for you, your great-great uncle passed away, or great-grandmother or whatever, and there's left this massive estate inheritance, and you get a 10-page document or maybe bigger, and you go through it and go, oh, awesome. You agree it's yours, right? Because they've left it to you. Yep. It's legal, right? Yep. If you take page 2, 3, and 4 out and page 7 out, and you're only left with the others, is it still yours, everything? Yep. Yes. But you choose not to receive the other. Correct. That's how people treat the Bible. Yes. That's how people go through the Bible going, I'm not sure if I sit comfortable with that. I'm not going to take that out. Yeah. But I'm comfortable with this one. And God's okay with that. He'll love you. You'll be born again. You'll go to heaven. You'll thrive one day in glory land. But my thing is this, and this is what I've been praying and thinking about. Why would you want anything less on this earth? Because doesn't he say, Lord, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? So let me ask you this. Is there sickness in heaven? Thy kingdom come. In other words, bring health and healing right now, right here in this place. Is there any sadness or depression or oppression?
No.
Let joy come to this place now.
Amen.
Is there any lack in heaven?
No.
In actual fact, when I read my Bible, there were mansions. There were streets of gold, which means God doesn't have an issue with gold. Man does. Religion does. So guess what? I pray. Let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
But you know the key is this. Look at Abraham. Abram, I love him. He said this. He was about to put the knife down and take Isaac out. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, stop. Stop. Don't do it. You will not touch him. Because now we know that you believe. Now we know that you will hold back nothing from us. Abram was blessed with land. He was blessed with a seed blessing. He was blessed with inheritance, generation. He was blessed with so many things in the Abrahamic covenant. But all God wanted to make sure is, do I have his heart? Because if God has your heart, he has no issue with everything else that comes with covenant. You need to understand that, church. Don't let people lie to you because of their lack of ignorance or understanding about this book and what it has in it. Oh, yes, I'll answer that question. I will. Doesn't the covenants end or come to an end because we're in a new covenant? Nope. Nope. Look at this. In Jeremiah 33:19, he's talking about David's covenant, the Davidic. Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with day and my covenant with the night, so that there will be no more day and no more night in their seasons. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, then my covenant may also be broken with David. I don't know about you. The sun still rises and the sun still sets. Oh, you want another one? Okay, I'll give you another one. Abrahamic covenant. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants, that's talking about Abram's, after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Can I say something? The covenants were built upon and grown up, and we're in an awesome covenant now, which has it all wrapped up, and we're in grace, which means we can come before him boldly into his throne room of grace and mercy. But we still have everything else that we're entitled to that we can tap into. As long as Jesus is first place in your life, as long as he's the center and the foundation, God has no issue getting stuff to you. God has no issue healing you. He has no issue using you to lay hands on the sick. He encourages it. We've spent time the last few weeks talking about the Church of Pentecost, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, signs, wonders, miracles. We are those people in this time. That's the covenant we're in. So guess what? We're in an awesome, nothing should stop the body of Christ today because we're in a better covenant. Amen? Amen. We have authority and dominion. This, what I'm talking about this morning, is about authority and dominion that we are called to walk in every single day of our life. Yes. Not pastors, not prophets, every single believer. Yes. Amen? You're getting me. Yes. You'll feel me. Yes. Feel my heart. Yes. It's in the Bible, church. I wouldn't be telling you something that's not in the Bible. This is the other thing I want to add before we move on. God changed Abram's name, Abram, to Abraham, right? Abram meant high father. Abraham meant father of multitude. Do you know that that was the law of first mention, where it talks about confession? He changed his name because he wanted to, every time he spoke his name out, that he would remember the promise. That's why he got him to change his name. That was one of the main reasons. So if you know anything about the Bible, it talks about the law of first mention. It's the first time something's mentioned. It's a theme throughout the Bible. It's something, a principle you can stand on. If the word of God, the promises, is in your heart, on your mouth, and you speak it by faith, it shall be. That's not a name and claim it thing. That's a faith thing. That's a lifestyle thing. That's a covenant thing. That's an authority thing. You with me? Don't let people confuse you. There's balance. Now, let me say this. There are people that manipulate stuff. I'm talking about people with a pure heart. That's what I'm talking about. Right? The number one thing is to love one another, is to help one another, is to put Jesus in the center, to tell people about him, get them born again and saved, and be available to be used by God. Right? That's the foundation for every believer. But there's things that come with it that you're entitled to, that there's a blessing attached with everything. We are a priestly and a royal generation. I don't know about you, but if I look at, and this is not a prosperity sermon, trust me, but I'm just going to say this. If you look at the royal family, they don't go, oh, you know, when we go to Africa, we go to Australia to visit, we'll just go and check in at a caravan park and we'll set up tent and we'll have snags and bread. They fly in based on the provisions of who they represent. They operate at the level that they are representing. So if they're ambassadors of the royal family, as we are ambassadors to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, should there not be bigger thinking in our lives? That sometimes we restrict what God wants to do in our nation, in our city, in our church. We're believing for growth, but you know what's going to come? A new building. Paid cash. I just put it out there in the atmosphere right now. I'm going to pay for it first. You can wait. You can pay for something else. You're not robbing me of that blessing. I'm serious. I'm fighting for that one. You can pay for the chairs. Can you hear what I'm saying, church? We've got to enlarge. You know, we've got to come up a level in our thinking. We've got to start thinking kingdom thinking, royal thinking. Because when we think like that, we will act differently. We will treat each other differently. You know, there's some things we won't compromise on. Amen? To that one? We're going to be believing for bigger. When we come to church, we actually realize we're actually coming behind a kingdom assignment. Yeah, we're not just rocking up at church on a Sunday, see, okay, cool, I like their biscuits so you can dunk them. You know what I mean? I like the biscuits, by the way. But it's about a kingdom assignment. There's something bigger. We're making an impact in an unseen realm. Because what we're actually doing every week is as we're stirring, as we're growing, we're saying, Lord, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven through me. Through me, through Rod, through Maz, through Sean, through Jim, through everyone. Amen? Through David. Let thy kingdom come, thy will be done through me. And whatever's required to make that happen, let it come with the package. If it's provision, let it be. If it's influence, that I need a Harmony suit because I'm going to a function that's going to put me in front of a prime minister, that the Lord will give me a word of knowledge that I can speak into him, let it be. Come on. God doesn't see things the way we see things. Man looks at the things and the value of it, right? Man will look at something and go, that's got a value attached to it. God looks and goes, I don't even see things the way you see it. I'm looking at the heart condition. And if the heart condition's right, if you're a vessel I can use, tap into my principles and watch what we do together as we partner together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Amen? Amen. Praise Jesus. You all enjoying this?
Yes.
Jesus was talking in Matthew 16, verse 19. He says this, I will give you the keys. Everyone say authority. I give you the authority. People walk around going, keys, keys, what key, what can I open up? What can I open up? No. He gave you authority. Authority. He went back to get the keys. What he's saying, I went back and took authority and handed it back to man. Of the kingdom of heaven. Was it just Jesus or was it the kingdom? So you have keys to the front door. Okay, we'll wait there for a second. Let that sink in. You have keys to the front door. So that you can open up whatever's required and bring it to earth. Because look what he says. And whatever you bind that's forbid, declare it to be improper. Is sickness proper?
No.
It's improper.
Yes.
I bind it. I don't allow it. Not in this place. Not in my family. Not in my life. Not in my body.
Amen.
I have the keys and authority for that one. So what else does heaven look like? Is there lack and limitations? Lord, I need something. I need to do something, but I'm lacking something. Now, let me say something about that. We have kingdom authority, but there's also kingdom principles. Without seed, there's no harvest.
Yeah.
But when I have seed and I release authority over that seed, it produces. You've got to understand the difference. Okay? We have already been bound in heaven, and whatever we loose, that is permit, declare lawful on earth, will already have been loosed in heaven. God has already loosed everything we need. And he's waiting for us to get into agreement, unlock our lips, our hearts, our faith, and release it into our nation, release it into our churches, release it into our city. But it's going to come by this. The word close to you, in your heart, and on your mouth. Because the only way you combat the enemy, he don't listen to your opinions. Hey, you know, devil, I heard this YouTube the other day. It spoke about sickness and that and healing, and I don't think you have a right. You all remember the story of the sons of Sceva? Remember how they thought, hey, I come to you in the name of their God? What did the demon say? Come on, help me. Who are you? I know them. Who are you? Bam, hiding. No, I'm serious. I'm not speaking fear here. You don't step into kingdom level without revelation and authority and boldness. But when I stand in front of the devil and I say, listen, it is written, I declare right now that cancer to leave that person in Jesus' name because that's what he said and I'm standing on what he said. But I don't just say it because I heard somebody say it. I say it because I believe and I know that's the truth.
That's right.
Finances, every area has to be the same. Come against what's happening in this nation. Got to start praying. Listen, stop speaking about the abortion. Start speaking against it.
Yes.
It's a demon spirit behind it.
Yeah.
Don't focus on the people that are authorizing it. Speak it on, come against the confusion and the demonic spirit that's blinded them, not to see truth. And I'll help you with something. There's nothing new under the sun and the earth. It's been in the Bible for centuries. It's just more amplified now because we have social media. We win at the end. I just want to encourage someone. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, no. Yes. Remember the centurion? Can I share more scriptures with you? Is it okay to share scriptures in church? Just asking. That was ugly, I know. Luke 7, look here. Therefore, I did not think of myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. Listen. Don't even need to touch it. Just say the word, and you're healed. Look what Jesus goes on to say. Oh, sorry, the centurion. He says, for I am also a man under authority. What they're talking about? Kingdom authority here. Going, hey, I know who you are. I know who you represent. I'm also under authority. You're under greater authority. That's why I'm coming to you. You just say the word and I know. Be healed. What's the end of the story? Jesus says, I have not seen such greater faith as this. What's he saying? When you operate in the word and it's in your heart and you release it and you operate in authority and you're convinced by it, he's saying, man, that is great faith. Am I talking to believers this morning? I understand you're still all dwelling in that worship and the Holy Spirit's still working in you. It's okay. The word is incorruptible seed. It's going out. It's going in the heart. It will produce hundredfold. Psalm 107, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. He sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his word. Luke 9, then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom. Not just meekness, not just humility, the kingdom. The kingdom that we're in. That kingdom. That's the kingdom we should be preaching. Every area. You don't have to be lacking. You can have abundance. Just do what most people do and you'll get what they got. But it's the heart condition. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to bless? Are you going to be a blessing? Is this not the fast I've chosen? That you feed the hungry, clothe the poor? There's a reason and assignment, not just to store up. What are you going to do with the word? Are you going to lay hands and heal? So it's you, it's the Holy Spirit working through you. But he requires somebody to be the hands and feet of Jesus. But it requires authority and obedience and boldness. That's great faith. Amen. Can I ask the worship team to come up? We'll carry on next week with the rest. How many of you are getting this? You need to understand the kingdom of God works differently to the kingdom of this world. Amen. We are governed by spiritual laws, rules, regulations, principles, but above all, there is one head. His name is Jesus. That is above all. No man takes his place. No devil can take his place, even if they tried. He is the head, right? And he's saying to us as his people in this time, all you need to do is function in the authority I've given you. You can have the life that I've promised you. You can have the covenant blessings that I've promised you. But one thing he's saying is we draw near to the end. The finish line is getting shorter. So we've got an assignment to do. Nothing in our hearts should ever be selfish based on making us comfortable in that sense and not looking out. Listen to my heart. We have to be in a place where when we're blessed, when we're abundant, when we're healthy, when we're whole, it doesn't matter, every area of our life, that we're looking, Lord, who can I touch? Who can I be a blessing to? Amen? You know, Mark, there was a guy in the elevator when I went to visit you in the hospital the other day. I didn't feel like it, honestly. But we've got 5 levels to go, and the other young kid walks in, and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you've got 5 levels. What do you want to say to him? He's like, he's trapped. He ain't going nowhere. And he's like on his phone. He doesn't look. And I started sharing with him. witnessing with them. Opportunities all around us. We just need to be attentive. I've also missed opportunities because I was consumed in a hurry, got to get to my next meeting. And I know the Lord said, that person I actually wanted you to talk to. I'm just being real with you. Can I be real? So I've also missed it. But I want to say this. Everything about getting the word in your heart, getting it in deep, and speaking it. Devils and demons, we're speaking into kingdoms. You've got to understand. They only move and adjust when you release with authority and conviction. Not murmuring. And let me just say this. This wasn't part of my message, but the Holy Spirit just dropped it. None of this works if you have love. If you don't have love in your heart and you've got offenses and strife in your house or in your heart. None of this works. You short-circuit it. If there's offense in your heart and not love functioning, it will not work for you. The foundation is love. Full stop. Amen. Close your eyes. Bow your head.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast from Heritage of Faith Gold Coast. For more information, or if you have any questions, please go to our website, heritageoffaith.com.au. Have a blessed week.